Hello, everyone. happy Wednesday. It is very good to be back here with you. As Carrie mentioned, she gave me such a sweet, sweet introduction. As Carrie mentioned, I am here for the Guiding Light. And the Guiding Light is that time where I read directly from the Bible and share the interpretation that is coming to my mind. Because when I read, now I get a live, spontaneous, here's how to see this interpretation. I don't take words literally. I listen to what people would call the inner teacher, what the inner teacher is telling me to understand about what I'm reading. And so what I do during the Guiding Light is I share that with you. And last week, we looked at John chapter 9. And one thing that was really, really sweet about John chapter 9 was there was this guy that was blind that Jesus healed. But what stuck with me wasn't the fact that Jesus healed a blind person, which is what a lot of people get excited about. Oh, Jesus healed the blind. It wasn't that that stuck with me. What stuck with me was this man himself and his attitude and his willingness for truth, his willingness not to adopt any false beliefs. You know, like people asked him, is Jesus a prophet? And he says, I can't say whether he's a prophet or not. All I can say is that I was blind and now I see. I mean, you know, he was willing just to stick with the facts of his experience without allowing the mind to elaborate and create all kinds of beliefs. We had John Sherman here the other night, and not in the interview that I did with John Sherman, but in one of the interviews that I was watching prior to interviewing John Sherman. In one of those interviews, John Sherman was explaining, you know, why he does not perceive himself as a spiritual teacher. And the bottom line was he perceives that in spirituality there are lots of what we would call magical thinking, beliefs that nobody can confirm, putting people on and things on pedestals, and just all this extra stuff that gets in the way of the basic simple truth, right? And he just wants the basic simple truth. He doesn't want all that extra stuff. Well, that's the way this young man, or old man, I'm not sure. I think he was a fairly young man. That's the way this young man was. He was just willing for the truth and didn't waste his mind or attention on anything else. So I really loved his demonstration of how to be, if you'll pardon the expression, the perfect student. Today, this afternoon, we are going to start looking at John chapter 10. But if you guys know me well, you know that one thing I do like to do before I go into the new is just play a song and get still. And this is the song that has jumped out at me, so I'm going to play this. It's Judy Collins, Both Sides Now.
Oh,
Song reminded me of one of the statements that Jesus made. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before in our reading, but he talked about how it was probably last week because he gave sight to a blind man last week. Yeah, here it is. He says, I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And that song reminded me of the becoming blind. And remember, we talked about how when you think you know, you can't be taught because your cup is full. There's no room for anything else. If you think you know, nobody can show you anything. And so those who think they know need to come to the point where first they realize they don't. Then they become teachable. So using the symbol of seeing and blind, it would be seeing, which is really just thinking you see. From that, Jesus must make you blind, which means you suddenly realize you don't know anything. And then Jesus can teach you to really see, right? He can make the blind see, but if you think you already see, first he has to make you blind. And in this particular song, she was saying, I realize now I don't know love at all. I realize now I don't know life at all. You know, everything she thought she knew, she realizes now she was wrong. And so now she's in this space of being blind, but blind, now she can be healed and come to see. So that's, of course, something that we all also want to be careful about when we study spiritual concepts, that we don't fill our head with intellectual concepts and think that we know based on the concepts, because then we're even further away from the truth. We have to be taken from, I think I know, to blindness before we can go to healed. So I'm grateful that song jumped out at me because it reminded me to do that little review. All right, so we are going to begin today with John chapter 10. And again, I'm reading directly from the Bible. And the words are in red when they begin, which means Jesus is the one speaking. So here we go. The name of this little story that's coming up as it's annotated in my Bible is The Shepherd and His Flock. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So that's the story that we're going to look at. It's interesting because the symbols shift a little bit during the story, so we'll look at that. One thing I think is interesting about the fact that the symbols shift a little bit during the story is that what that really means is that we can't be too literal in our understanding. You know, Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles that words are symbols of symbols and therefore twice removed from reality. And when we think we understand words and therefore we think we understand, we can be missing quite a lot, if not the entirety. So it's really nice not to even see words as having a particular meaning. It's nice to let a word mean one thing one day and another thing another day as guided by spiritual intuition. Because the communication is really beyond the words. So we always want to be careful about being too literal and trying to make things fit into nice, neat little intellectual boxes. So it's kind of nice that the symbols shift and they're not consistent, even as Jesus is talking. So let's take this at the top. He says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but comes in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep." So if you start there, we have like a little image. You know, we have a sheep pen where the sheep have been kept maybe overnight or something. And we have, you know, we'll say two men walking towards the sheep pen. One kind of racing ahead, trying to get there first, climb over the gate, and steal some of the sheep. The other man is walking gently towards the gate, and when he comes, he opens the gate. And in fact, I believe the next thing says he calls the sheep and they recognize his voice, right? So the man that is climbing over the sheep pen to steal the sheep, that is obviously a symbol of the ego. The man who comes through the gate, I will call at this point, is the inner teacher. And so the question becomes, what is the pen and what is the gate and, you know, what do these things represent? Well, the gate represents, you could say, the heart, or you could say intuition. And the one who's jumping over the pen, that's the head or the thinking or the chatter. So let's listen to this again with those symbols explained. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, in other words, I'll call it that thinking that does not enter your awareness through the heart. That thinking that does not enter the awareness through the heart. That man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, right? Through the thinking, through the chatter, through the ego mind. Is a thief and a robber. So that's the one that's going to not tell you the truth about yourself, but is going to tell you lies about what you are, lies about what's important to you, about what you value, lies about what you desire, lies about what you don't like and want to avoid, lies about what you want out of life. I mean, it's really stealing yourself from you. If you're listening to the one that comes in not through the heart, but through the thinking, to the chatter, and believing that it is right, correct, especially about you and who you are and what you think and what you feel, right? Then you're allowing this thief and robber to steal your awareness of yourself from you as you believe all that it says about who you are. And that's what the thinking does. Right, the chatter thinking, that's what the thinking does. You know, it talks to us about our political opinions, our spiritual opinions, our, you know, just whatever. Just everything. It talks to us about everything. And when we believe it, our awareness of our true self is replaced with the false sense of who I am. Right, the false sense of who I am. Jesus continues, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. So, that, I'll start with that which comes through the heart, is coming from the inner teacher. And it recognizes who we are. The reason I said that which comes through the heart is because it can really show up in so many forms. It can show up as thought. You know, all of NTI was written with words. And words are thought. But that all of A Course in Miracles was written with words. And words are thought. So that which comes to the heart can also show up as thought. It can show up as images. It can show up as just a sudden knowing. It can show up as an intuition. It's not the form that makes it the inner teacher. It's the content. The difference between the thief that does not come through the gate, the thief that comes into the pen through another way, and the shepherd who does walk through the gate or the heart. The difference, the primary difference between the two is who they see us as. The thinking that does not come through the gate, first of all, if you are absolutely honest about that thinking, you have to see that that thinking thinks it is you. That's who you are. You are this collection of thoughts. You are these opinions. You are these judgments. You are these fears. You are these desires. You are these memories, right? That's who you are. It thinks you're all of that. But the inner teacher who's coming through the gate knows that you are none of that. The inner teacher who's coming through the heart knows who you are, and it is here to remind you of who you are. So again, I'm going to start at the top. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. So what is the watchman that opens the gate for him? I would say that the watchman that opens the gate is what we could call willingness or desire for truth. Until something has occurred in you where you are now interested in truth for one reason or another or for no reason, but until something has occurred in you where you are interested in truth, the gate stays closed. Up until that point, we all paid complete attention to the thief and the robber. But when, for whatever reason, we began to seek for a better way, or whatever those first steps look like, where we suddenly became interested in truth, that is the watchman, and that opens the gate. That opens the gate so that the inner teacher can come through. And the inner teacher is not going to force its way in. That willingness, that desire on our part is absolutely essential. And the reason that's absolutely essential is because we are free. We are free. It's not so much that we have free will as much as we are free will. And so if we have no interest in truth, the gate stays closed by our own interest in the world and the false personality. But when even a little willingness is born, a little change, a little seeking begins, that gate begins to open. And the truth is that gate can swing wide, 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 wide open. The stronger and stronger that desire for truth is, which means more and more inner teacher is recognized, more and more inner spiritual wisdom is known, and we become much clearer between the thief and the robber and the inner spiritual teacher. So again, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And what that really seems to be to me is what I'm going to call the inner confirmation. You know, I don't know where your spiritual journey seemed to begin in this particular lifetime. I'm even trying to remember where mine seemed to begin in this particular lifetime. I'm not 100% certain that even I know. But I'm going to say this, although it may have been the second step rather than the first step, because I got to pick something or I'm going to sit here quietly for the rest of the time. So just know this may not be 100% true because my mind is a little fuzzy, but the point that I'm making is still correct. what I'm going to pick is that my beginning on this path was seeing Marianne Williamson on Oprah. And assuming I'm correct about that, the rest of the story then is true. When I saw Marianne Williamson on Oprah, something in me recognized truth. Now, of course, it wasn't Marianne Williamson specifically. She has never been, quote, my teacher. So again, we don't want to take it that literally. But there was something she was saying. There was some inner wisdom that was coming through her mouth that I recognized, even though I had never heard it before. It wasn't a conscious recognition. It was an intuitive recognition. And as a result of that intuitive recognition, I went and bought her book, A Return to Love, and read it twice and highlighted the heck out of it. Maybe read it three times, but I think twice. And then decided to go to this other book that she kept talking about, A Course in Miracles, and you know, the rest just continues to unfold from there. But what made me recognize something that I had never consciously been introduced to before? No one had ever told me about before. You know, what causes us to recognize truth when we were previously unaware of it? That's what Jesus is pointing to when he says, the sheep, they recognize my voice. That's just inborn in us. Why is it inborn in us? Because of who we are and because it's our truth. Remember that our conscious mind, the thinking mind, is the thief and the robber. But that intuition, that is the inner confirmation that got us started on this path, right? That's coming from our true self. That's coming from who we are. That's inborn in us. So of course we recognize it when it finally comes into our orbit through our willingness. First comes our willingness. First comes our beginning to seek for whatever reason, right? That willingness opens the gate. Once the gate opens, the inner teacher can call to us in whatever way, whether it comes from within or whether it comes through a book or Marianne Williamson's voice on Oprah, whatever way, the inner teacher can now come in because the gate's been open, and we recognize it because it is our truth. So the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So now we are, I would say, on the spiritual path. And anybody who's been on the spiritual path for any length of time knows that those of us who are on this journey seem to go through different phases, different stages. Sometimes people call it the steps on the stairway to heaven. But you know, our greatest clarity at one moment, which is such a wonderful gift, is actually at some point superseded by a greater clarity, right? And that process just seems to continue to happen, this greater and greater awakening, this greater and greater opening. And so that's symbolized by the inner teacher. He's going ahead of us and saying, come on, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And as we keep coming and keep coming, we have these greater and greater and greater realizations. So when he has brought them out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, this is really important. Once we are out of the pen and we're following the inner teacher and we're out in the open, I'll just put it this way, to follow the symbol of the sheep herder and the sheep. Others can come to us and call to us and say, hey, come this way. Come this way. I've got the truth over here, right? And what Jesus is saying is we don't listen to those other voices because we don't recognize them. Now, let me tell you how that is experienced, at least how it's been experienced within me. And I think that we all tend to experience things the same way, but maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, I recognized truth, or at least the pointers of truth, first in Marianne Williamson, you know, then A Course in Miracles, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm going along, following this path, listening to this voice, and then I come along another spiritual teacher. And, you know, that spiritual teacher starts saying, oh, come with me and you'll find enlightenment. You know, come with me, give me all of your money, because if you don't give me all of your money, this is what's really important about this. If you don't give me all of your money, you are just keeping a plan B opportunity to run back to ego. The only way that you can really, really, really fully commit to this path is to give me all of your money. So please, you know, so give me all of your money. This is how I'm going to help you. I'm doing this for you. And then make sure you do everything I say. No, don't check with your own inner intuition. You're too confused. If you try checking within, you're just going to listen to ego. Don't check within. Do everything I say. Listen to me. You know, and then there's this feeling in the chest, because I actually had this experience. There's this feeling in the chest that's not right. You know, the person has these eyes that look enlightened. All of these people call this person enlightened, and yet in the chest, instead of that inner confirmation that got me started, right? It's an opposite feeling. It's a contraction. It's a not right. And so what Jesus is saying here is, just as we recognize what is true, or is what is leading us to truth, it is built into us. It is built into us to recognize that which isn't true or isn't leading us to truth. And so we have to learn to listen to that inner feeling within us. When the inner feeling is saying, yes, listen to this, we listen. When the inner feeling is saying, no, 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 this isn't right, we need to know to go another direction. Go find that inner teacher again. Say, wait a minute, I think I got lost. Inner teacher, where are you? And find that signal again and start following it again. So both the yes and the no are built in. The right and the wrong, right way, wrong way, are built in. Which means we really can trust both in us. And it's funny, I know I experienced this, and again, I imagine that maybe some other people experienced this too. It was much easier for me to accept the yes. It was harder for me to accept the no as guidance. Because my mind, which of course is the robber and the thief, my mind is telling me that's just judgment. You need to ignore your judgment. That's just judgment. You bad person, you shouldn't be judging. You need to ignore your judgment. And it wasn't judgment. It was intuition in the form of a no. So if we can accept that the intuition comes both in the forms of yeses and noes, and innocently trust our intuition, we will be led very clearly, right? But when we get confused and we fear trusting our own intuition, we can get lost. We can wander off under the, you know, follow the stranger for a while, go off in the wrong direction for a while. So Jesus says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So that's Jesus telling us what to do. Run away. When your inner intuition says no, get the heck out of there. Don't waste any time feeling guilty about a no intuition, right? Just, this isn't for me. I'm out of here. Don't waste time. Even if everybody else is saying, oh, you know, this is the greatest. Ah, you know, if your intuition is saying no, get the heck out of there. Jesus says they will run away from him. He's telling us what to do. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again. That's somebody I've been trying to call for 4 days, and they're calling me now, but I'll have to let it go. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. He says, I am the gate. Now, let me just jump ahead. Whoops. We'll just wait a moment. Thank you, Stan. All right. So Jesus says in verse 7, I tell you the truth, I am the gate. And then Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Well, if you're thinking of Jesus as a, I'm going to say as a body right now, even if it's a spiritual body. If you're thinking as Jesus as, you know, like, this is Jesus and that's somebody else, that's Buddha. You know, if you're thinking of Jesus as a very specific identity, then how could Jesus be both the gate and the good shepherd, right? Because the watchman opens the gate and the good shepherd walks through it. So now if you're, you know, it can get really confusing at this point if you're thinking of Jesus as a specific identity. But if you let go of thinking of Jesus as a specific identity and you listen and look very carefully at what Jesus is saying, you will hear something else. So, in verse 7 he says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate. And then he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And, of course, in miracles, he says something like, I am in charge of the atonement. What is I am? What is I am? Isn't it your true self? Isn't it what you truly are, is what I mean by true self. I am the gate. I am the heart. I am, you know, I don't know what other words to put on that right now. I am the way. Thank you. There's another set of words, Jim. Perfect. I am. Right? And then he also says, I am the good shepherd. What is the inner teacher? The true self. What you truly are. I am. So, like I said, it's kind of nice that, you know, that Jesus isn't being really literal. Like if Jesus was referring to himself as a specific person, as he's telling the story, he could only be the gate or the watchman or the good shepherd, but he couldn't be all of those things. And it's really nice that he isn't being so nice and neat and literal in the way he's telling the story, because it causes us to question, how could he be the gate and the good shepherd? You know, we have to start asking those questions. How could he be both? And by starting to ask those questions, you know, the clarity can begin to rise that the I am is not specific to Jesus or anyone else. And that what those words, I am, again, remember, words are symbols of symbols and therefore twice removed from reality. And remember what I said at the beginning of this teaching. Do not see words as having a specific definition. Because if you see words as having a specific definition in all cases, you miss the teaching. Because the teaching is beyond the words. So you don't want to say, and I'm sorry, Lynn, I'm not talking to you. I would have said this anyway. But you don't want to say, I am means dot, dot, dot. And therefore, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Because then you've defined the words I am, and you're at the level of concepts. It's much better to live in the question. You know, again, if you had a specific idea of Jesus as a specific being, whether physical or spiritual, and you see now he's saying, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. How could he be both? Thank God for that confusion, because that confusion begins the questioning process. And then you have to say, okay, so what does he mean here? You know, what does he mean? I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. And somehow clarity shows you, wait a minute, I am. I am. And then you can begin to ask, what is I am? What does I am mean? What does I am point to? And in fact, what does I am point to is a very important question. Now, a lot of people first need to ask, what is I am? Because they don't know that. They don't know what I am is. So you start by asking, what is I am? And the answer that you get is not at all conceptual. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. If you want to turn around and tell somebody what you discovered I am is, you're going to put words to it. And then for that person, if they haven't experienced it themselves, it's going to become conceptual for them, because that's all they have to go with. But I am is not at all conceptual. It's a direct experience. You can experience I am. But I am is also not the ultimate truth. Think about that. The inner teacher, I'll say right now, just to put another set of words on it, is not the ultimate truth. Isn't the inner teacher just pointing to truth? The I am is the same. It points to truth. So first you ask, what is I am? But then at some point you begin to ask, where is I am pointing? And that's when you really have the teacher out ahead of you and you're following the teacher, right? When you start asking, where is I am pointing? You're like, oh, there it goes. And you start following I am, like following a sunbeam back to the source of the sun. So let me go back. Jesus says, when he, meaning the shepherd, has brought them all out. Wait, I think I misread that. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So I am the gate. I am. And whoever enters through me will be saved. Earlier, we had somebody in the room that was asking about meditation. And Carrie gave a lovely answer about meditation. I am not attracted to every spiritual teacher on the planet Earth. Thank God. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine what an intellectual bombardment that would be. But every spiritual teacher that I am attracted to, even though they may use completely different words because they come from completely different cultures and their realizations came about in different ways, etc., etc., every teacher that I am attracted to teaches the same thing. They teach that at some point when the readiness comes upon us, we must sit down, close our eyes, and this is where the words begin to differ, focus on the I Am Presence, watch awareness, just be still, focus on the presence. I mean, you know, we could go on and on and on. They use different words, but they're all pointing to the same thing. And they all teach that as you do this, and for now I'll call it focusing on the I Am because that's the language that Jesus is using, that as you focus on this I Am and focus on this I Am and focus on this I Am, it does two things. One, it undoes all of the obstacles to your true self. And two, it leads you all the way back to the full and complete realization of your true self without any obstacles remaining. They all teach that. They use different words. They say it in different ways. But it's one teaching. And what I hear Jesus saying right here in the book of John is the exact same teaching. Jesus is telling us that if we recognize the I Am, the Good Shepherd, and the I Am runs out ahead of us, which means we really do have to be focused on watching that I Am. It's leading us, so we close our eyes, we focus on that I Am. And if we keep our attention with the I Am, and if we are not distracted by the thinking, which he is calling the thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy, if we are not distracted by the thinking and we stay focused on the I Am, he says that we will be led to have life and have it to the full. That's the full realization of what you are without any obstacles remaining. What a wonderful teaching. And you know why it's a wonderful teaching? Because it's the same teaching. The same teaching. Or at least let me speak for myself for a moment. The same teaching that I hear through Michael Langford, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Buddha, as we have received his teachings anyway. You know, it's the same teaching. Elie Ruzdar. It's the same teaching. You know, it's interesting because Jesus is saying that we will recognize the Good Shepherd's voice. And Jesus is also saying the Good Shepherd is I am. But it's saying we will recognize the Good Shepherd's voice and we will follow the Good Shepherd and we will not follow the strangers. We will run away from the strangers. And that's, of course, because of our willingness. So, again, if somebody was to come to me and say something like, I don't know, I got to make some crap up. You know, what you need to do is wash your feet very, very well every morning. And then walk around in your room concentrating on your feet every day. And then after you've concentrated on your feet for an hour or so, you wash your feet again. And then you have to change your nail polish every day. You must begin every day with new nail polish. And then you do the same thing with your hands. You wash your hands very well. And then you move your hands and focus on your hands for an hour. And then you wash your hands again. And then you have to change your nail polish, right? I'd be like, what? That's not the same teaching. I mean, I can see a little bit of similarity in there where you have us focusing on something. But that's not the same teaching. And I would run away. I'd like, no, I have heard a very consistent teaching. I have heard a very consistent teaching through a number of teachers from all times, right? Ancient to current. And something in me tells me to trust this teaching. I don't need this wash your hands, wash your feet, change your nail polish every day stuff. I just don't. And you know, it's nice that it's so simple. It's nice that it's simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. What makes it complicated, and the Course tells us this in its own way, what makes it complicated is that we're addicted to the thief and the robber. We think that the thief and the robber is telling the truth about the world and about what we think and about what we feel. And so it's complicated because we're listening to the thief and the robber and we're not listening to singularly the voice of inner wisdom, which is saying, set down, find the I am, and stay with that until it leads you all the way home. How simple. But again, we're listening to the thief and the robber, and the thief and the robber says things like, I don't have time to sit down and close my eyes. I got to do this and this and this and this. And not only that, you know, I don't mind closing my eyes for 15 or 20 minutes, but the truth is I would much rather do this and this and this and this. Oh, and I've got these problems that I need to solve. And that's the thief and the robber. And so the more we listen to the thief and the robber, the less we listen to the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is the one that is leading us to have life and have it to the full. Full, honest self-realization or truth realization. Jesus continues. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, we all know that Jesus goes on to be crucified, and certainly that's how this is interpreted, you know, by Christians. But when I read this, what my mind is saying, now it's referring back to the physical guru. Lots of people are calling me today. It's referring back to the physical guru. And the physical guru lays down his ego, his false self, for all of us. If the physical guru is one who is completely awakened, the ego is dead in him, he has done that final death laying down. But if the physical guru has not yet experienced the final ego death, the physical guru has to lay down the ego, as Joe Goldsmith says, 1,000 times a day. So if you haven't experienced the physical, the final death of the ego has to die again and again. You have to keep letting it die in order to stay in the humility and in the inner intuition. So Jesus is saying that the physical appearance of the guru, which we all have those as well in our lives, lays down the personal life in order for the actual Good Shepherd to speak through him or her, right? Either having died the final ego death or dying 1,000 times a day, like Joel Goldsmith says. So Jesus is saying, basically, you can trust me. The words that come through this body are the I am, and they are the I am because, and he's not clear here, either he has already died the final ego death or he dies 1,000 times a day. But you can trust me because I lay down my life for you. This is not this person, Jesus speaking. This is the I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Now, when Jesus refers to the hired hand, he is referring to the false spiritual teacher. And the false spiritual teacher would be a person who has some kind of ulterior motive. They want followers, they want money, they want to sell books, they want to be famous, whatever. And they are not laying down their life. That's the difference. They may know, for example, A Course in Miracles forward and backward and may be able to quote it completely, right? But they are doing it all from the head. They have not laid down their life. It is not the spontaneous wisdom that is coming through them. And Jesus is distinguishing between the two. And the hired hand cannot lead you all the way to truth because the hired hand does not know truth itself. The hired hand only knows concepts and personal desires and personal fears. So Jesus also wants us to distinguish between the hired hand and the true teacher, the one who lays down his life for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. He has his own desires, his own purposes. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So again, we have it inborn in us to recognize the true teacher, whether that true teacher is coming from within ourselves, from a book we're reading, or from an outer physical teacher, right? We have it inborn in us to know that true teacher, and the true teacher knows who we really are. The true teacher is not confused, thinking that we're the person, right? We know the teacher, we recognize the teacher, and the teacher recognizes us. It's mutual because it's natural. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And again, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I don't get any different interpretation there than the one that I was taught as a child, which means he's talking to the Jews, but he's saying it's not just you Jews. You know, the Jews thought they were the special chosen people of God. He's saying it's not just the Jews. You know, all humans are the same. All humans have the inborn recognition of truth. All humans are the truth, but simply don't recognize it yet themselves. This isn't just for the chosen people. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. Now, what Jesus appears to be saying here, and as we move forward in John, we're going to see that this continues. Jesus appears to be saying here, I haven't died the final ego death yet. He goes, I lay down my life. It comes back. the personal self, the realization, the desires, all of that comes back, but then I lay it down again. You know, just like Joel Goldsmith, I die 1,000 times a day. So Jesus is now telling us at this point in John what his state of mind is. He has not died the final ego death, but he does die over and over and over again in order to remain clear. So the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. So God doesn't force me to do this. It is my choice, my willingness to lay down the ego over and over again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Yes, I'm the one who does that. This command I receive from my Father. And as we move forward in John, what we're going to see is Jesus getting closer and closer to ego death. And we're going to see the fear arising in him. We're going to see him talking very honestly about that fear. So at this point, Jesus is not saying that he has passed through the eye of the needle yet. But I think we will see that before this is over. So I'm going to stop there. And next week we will begin with verse 22. I went a couple minutes over, but I'm next, so that's okay. I gave myself permission. I'm going to be still for a moment. And then I will begin prayer circle.